is a God of miracles. Last week we talked about bold prayers. And this morning, before we talk about bold speaking, I want us to just take an opportunity. And if you need a miracle in your life, if you are agreeing with someone who needs a miracle in their life, I'm going to ask that right now you just throw your hand up. And we're going to agree with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe for a miracle this morning. For me, the miracle I'm believing for is my dad. I've shared with many of you, he had brain surgery to have a tumor mostly removed from his brain. And they removed as much as they can. And it's a procedure he has every few years. And this time it's caused some damage where he is 100% blind in one eye and has 40% left in the other. And so right now we've been believing, we've been standing and asking for a miracle. And so those of you that have a miracle need in your life as well, I'm going to, just throw up your hand and we're just going to pray and we're going to agree with you. And I'm going to put up my hand in agreement and be praying for my dad. So let's pray together. Father God, right now we know that you are the God of miracles. Father, we can come before you in your throne of grace, Father, and we know we're not approaching it alone, but we are approaching your throne with your Son, Jesus, who by his stripes we are healed. And Father, we thank you for that. And God, right now we come before you and we ask, Father, for these miracles that are being represented today by raised hands. God, we pray, Father, for completeness, for wholeness in families, Father, wholeness in bodies. Father, I pray if anybody has doubt in their mind, Father, that you would smash that doubt and reveal to them, Father, your goodness. God, if there are families that are struggling, God, we pray that you would join them and unite them, Father. Make them stronger in Jesus' name. Father, you want families to be whole and together in Jesus' name, so we thank you. God, for those that have financial needs, Father, right now we praise you and thank you as finances are being met and even exceeded, Father, because you are a God of miracles, you are a God of blessings. So God, we thank you, Father, for whatever the need is, Father, by those hands represented today, God, we thank you, Father, for the work that you are doing right now, that you've been doing, and that you will continue to do, God. Father, we pray that as heaven is open, and as your word said, your promises are there, on earth as it is in heaven, God. So in heaven there is no sickness, so God, on earth, when we believe and we ask, we will receive, and there will be no sickness. There will be no disease. There will be no want. There will be no lack. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Father, that we, as we step out and believe in these bold things, that you would meet our needs. And we thank you for meeting our needs. Jesus, we thank you for bringing the victory when you died and rose from that death. God, thank you that victory has been brought and won. Be with us this morning, God. Encourage us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, you can have a seat. Well, I have to apologize to those that are watching online because we had a technical issue this morning and it's not as easy as Ella makes it look back there, I discovered, because I was trying to figure out technical stuff, trying to keep up with slides. There we go. And I'm still not keeping up with my slides, but I think I am now. She makes it look really easy, and I'm thankful for the work that she does and those that do our audiovisual, those that are going to get to train on our new equipment. We're excited to get training you. It's not that hard. It's just I just didn't push right buttons. I forgot to turn on the audio, okay? So whoever was trying to watch and was listening to the first song, it was muted. So just skip the first song, and we're good. But we have audio now. So now not only can you guys hear, but they can hear. We're in our series called Be Bold. And I'm not gonna pain your ears because Lyle's just going to turn his hearing aid down if I sing again. But our key thought to this series is boldness is a behavior that is born out of belief. And we're in our third week of this series today. And we're talking today about bold speaking. See, we speak boldly about what we believe deeply, don't we? We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And in the book of Acts, there are many verses about, or in the New Testament, about New Testament Christians who believe deeply that Christ was not dead, but he was alive. He was alive, wasn't he? He was raised from the dead. He kicked down death's door. He bore stripes so that we are healed. He is alive. And in the book of Acts, it's just story after story of evidence of work that was being done through the resurrected Lord. And because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, we should be able to speak boldly, shouldn't we? Much like the New Testament Christian. So today I'm going to give you a few of the countless number of verses that we're going to start with, okay? Oh, I'm not going that fast, guys. Don't think you're getting out of here that quickly. Bill, sit down. Don't run out. Acts 9:28 was about Saul. And if you remember Saul was the guy that used to persecute Christians and even take their lives. And after he had been transformed by Christ, the Bible said, Saul moved about freely in Jerusalem. Saul moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking what? What was he doing when he was moving freely?
Boldly.
He was speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. What should we be doing? Moving about our community, speaking boldly about how good our God is? How many of us have been doing that this week? Have we been walking around Rosetown speaking boldly about how good our Jesus is? Because if not, I pray that today you'll be encouraged to do that. And then we got Acts 14:3, and we got Saul again and this guy Barnabas. And it says here that so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking what? Boldly for the Lord. What are they doing? They're speaking boldly. They weren't just, I'm just going to let my life be a witness for everybody to see. That's good enough for me. But he spoke boldly. We should be speaking boldly, shouldn't we? It's not just how we live. It's the words we say. It's the things we do. It's everything. It's the full package. We should be living as a believer, living like we're serving the resurrected Jesus, but we should also be speaking it, proclaiming it, declaring it to everyone we come in contact with. Amen? That wasn't very excited. Amen? Thanks. You guys I know we're few today, but I'm going to make you guys interact with me. Keep you awake. Lyle, nudge Elaine so in case she falls asleep on me again. Just kidding. And then we got Acts 4:31. And in Acts 4:31, we walked around this text a little bit. We came up to this text a little bit last week. And we saw the disciples ask for more boldness and to see miracles, didn't they? And that's what we read last week in the series, in the second study of this series, I guess. And it says here, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they what? And they spoke the word of what? What? They spoke the word of God boldly. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God boldly. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? My voice cracked. That's how excited I am. I'm going through puberty again all of a sudden. Guys, this is something to be excited. When we get the Holy Spirit, we should be able to speak the word of God boldly. When do we get the Holy Spirit? When we get saved. And when we get this infilling of the Spirit, we start speaking in tongues. And when we start acting like Pentecostals, for lack of better terms, but when we start getting our Pentecostal on and we start speaking in tongues, when we start proclaiming boldly, we need to proclaim boldly God's word over other people. Amen? Because when we speak boldly, what do we believe? We believe deeply, right? That's what we just agreed upon a few moments ago, didn't we? Okay. Now I'll catch you up. for those of you that weren't paying attention 2 weeks ago. Or maybe you missed it. We've been looking at Peter and John, and they're walking by the temple gates, and they came across this lame guy who couldn't walk for over 40 years. Not lame like dad joke lame, but lame, like couldn't walk. And everybody in the community knew this guy, and he said, "Hey guys, can you give me some money?" So he was a bit of a beggar, because that's what lame people had to do back then. And they said, do you remember, maybe you remember this song. I remember this song as a kid. "Silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Have you ever felt bold enough to say that to someone who had a need? And said, "Let's pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May your ears hear again. May your sight be restored. May you walk. May that limp be gone." Whatever it may be, right? And miraculously, this guy who had been lame for over 40 years suddenly got up and walked. And now you could imagine the buzz that this created in the community. Like if there was a guy in Rosetown that everybody knew had an ailment or a sickness, and we prayed for him and he miraculously was healed, because that's what we're called to do, aren't we? That's what it says in Scripture. We're supposed to pray for the sick and we're supposed to expect miracles. But you could imagine the buzz. Everybody knew this guy was a beggar. They knew he always had a need. They knew he was lame and couldn't walk. And so these religious guys, when they found out about this, the Sanhedrin, they didn't like the fact that Peter and John were talking about the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they put these guys on trial. And they threatened them, they questioned them. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about how they kind of just encircled them and they just started firing questions at them and accusations. And they wanted to keep Peter and John in jail, or they wanted to kill them. And the problem is, the lame guy that could now walk, that everybody was talking about, forced these guys not to be able to really do anything. They couldn't come down hard on Peter and John, could they? So that's where we're going to pick up the story today, in verse 16. And we see their inner dialogue that the religious leaders had, and they asked these questions. Now this is where it gets tricky, because I don't have Ella. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "See, everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it." Can't deny it. See, I like this story right here. I love this part, because what they're essentially saying is, we don't believe it, but we can't deny it. We don't understand it, but we can't deny it. And I'll tell you guys what, right now, and Stacy and I spent some time in prayer when we were praying for my dad, and I'm excited for reports where the doctor's like, "We can't understand it. We don't understand. His eye was blind, but it can see now. We don't know what happened. We can't deny. We don't understand. We don't believe what happened, but we can't deny that it's fixed." And we have opportunities like that to pray for people each and every day, don't we? Every day. And we can see miracles every day. And even further than that, maybe you remember we watched a movie. It would have been in the winter before COVID and all this. And it was about a boy that falls into the water. Do you remember this movie? And the boy wasn't breathing, should have been dead. And when the mom was praying, and all these people around her, they were just there going through the motions to support the mom and dad. But they didn't believe that the boy could be healed. And you know what the mom said? And this is how we've been praying now in our house. Is if you don't believe, then please don't pray with us. If you don't fully believe for a miracle, then please don't pray for it. Or don't pray with us. Because I don't want you to try to come in agreement with me if you're not in agreement with me. Until you're ready to come in agreement that we're going to see a healing, then come in agreement with me. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to expect miracles. We don't know what happened, but we can't deny it. I love that. Have you ever been part of a miracle? It's amazing, isn't it? It's exciting. And the thing is miracles should be part of our life every day. I remember this guy, and this isn't a physical miracle. This is This is more of a spiritual and emotional miracle. But I had this friend, this guy that I become friends with, and I remember his in-laws showing up to church and say, boy, have we seen a change in him. We don't know what it is. We can't describe it. We can't explain it. But whatever you guys are doing, keep going with it. Like, it's amazing to see. Our son-in-law is a different guy. Their marriage has been saved and restored. And I said to him, this isn't me. This isn't anything I'm doing. This is just Jesus at work through what we're doing and the Holy Spirit working through him. Because they saw a miraculous change in their son-in-law. They couldn't deny what was happening. They were amazed. And what did that do? That drew them into church. That drew them to Jesus, this family. These in-laws that didn't know Jesus at the time now know Jesus because of a miraculous work that was done in their family. And that's sort of what happened here. The religious people looked on and said, we don't believe it, but I'm telling you, the guy that couldn't walk for 40 years, now he's jumping rope and doing double dutch or whatever. You know, the two ropes that are skipping. He can do double dutch. I can't do double dutch. That'd be a miracle. I can skip fine, and I can do single rope, but double dutch. That's like, right, the two ropes going opposite way. Man, that takes some concentration. Anyways, he could do double dutch, I bet. But the thing is the context of 17, verse 17 is where this thing really starts to get real. And it's interesting because in verse 17, the religious leaders said this, but to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and communicated them not to speak or teach at all in the name of who? Because Jesus is the miracle worker, right? And I love that song that we sing, Waymaker. I'm not going to sing it for you, don't worry. But when Mary sings it, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are, right? So he is the miracle worker. He's the Promise Keeper. His promises are through his word, aren't they? I'm sorry, I might be all over the place this morning, but I'm excited about this idea of speaking boldly, speaking healing, speaking wholeness over our lives, over our family. They wanted to stop these guys from speaking in the name of Jesus. See, Peter and John, I don't even know where this scripture is. Let me see. Well, it might not be there. We're just going to go with it, okay? See, Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, is what it says later on in the scripture. Sorry, it's not there. And here's what they're saying. We can't help but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. Because we believe deeply, we have to speak boldly. And when you look at the Greek words translated as we cannot help, it basically means it's not possible. We cannot. It's not possible. It's not physically possible. It's not spiritually possible. It's not emotionally possible for me to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And that's the next verse or the verse after. I'm sorry, I thought I had it up there. So you need to understand, these guys are saying, you can threaten us and we're still speaking it. You can beat us and we're going to speak a little louder. You can put us to death, and the last words we're going to speak is the name of Jesus. These guys had an encounter with the resurrected Lord, and they believed, and they had to speak boldly because they believed. So now, what I want to do is give you three specific areas that I believe God wants you to speak boldly from. Not just live as a witness, but to speak boldly because you believe so what? So deeply, right? So boldly and so deeply. Deep and bold. So the first one is this. Oh, that was the verse I was trying to tell you. Sorry. I knew it was there. This is why I have Ella. Here we go. First point, I believe so deeply, I can't help but speak boldly to myself. Have you ever had to speak boldly to yourself? Man, sometimes we just need to give ourselves a kick in the butt. A kick in the rear end, as my grandpa used to say. Come here so I can give you a kick in the rear end. That's what he'd say to me. Because sometimes I wasn't listening. Sometimes I wasn't doing what I should. Sometimes we're not listening to the voice of God or doing what we should according to his word or acting as we're called to do or believing fully with our whole heart. And sometimes we just need a swift kick in the pants. If you don't want a swift kick in the pants, you're at the wrong place today. So, because we believe so deeply, because we believe so deeply, there are times I can't help but speak boldly to myself. And there are times where I have to speak boldly to myself. And this is what David did in 1 Samuel 36, and the Bible said, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." We can encourage ourselves based on Scripture and the promises of God. What the Bible says is true about us, right? Because what's true about me is not what you may say. What's true about me is what the Lord says, isn't it? You can have your opinion. I mean, you might not like my nose or that I have a mosquito bite on my cheek, or I have a really big one in my hairline that I don't let anybody see because none of you guys are really tall enough except for maybe Roman or Bill. But I got a big mosquito bite right here and just itching. But that's another story. See, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David preached himself a mini sermon. He encouraged himself. He spoke boldly to himself. And when you're afraid to speak out, when you're afraid to do something, when you're afraid to act, you need to remind yourself that God has not given you a spirit of fear. Amen? But of what? Of power, of love, and of sound mind. Even though somebody might say you're crazy, you're not, because you've got a sound mind from Jesus. And when you're worried, just preach God's word to yourself. Amen? Things like, "I will not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and petition, I will submit my requests to God, and I will let the peace of God, which supersedes, which surpasses all of my understanding, grant my heart and my soul in Christ Jesus peace." Amen? I'm not going to back down. Preach yourself a sermon. Second thing is because I believe so deeply, I can't help but encourage you. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that the body of Christ, that us as believers, the Christians, should hands down be the most encouraging people on the planet. I used to like UFC. I still like UFC fighting. I still like fighting. And I still like WWE, if you're going to laugh at me, but that's okay. I'm going to speak boldly and preach myself a sermon. And there used to be this guy, and he was called the baddest man on the planet. Well, we're supposed to be the most encouraging men and women on the planet. As believers, we're the most encouraging people on the planet. But the problem is, far too often we're not. Far too often we're not. You guys should have said amen when I said, though, we're the most encouraging, loving people on the planet. We should be, right? Amen? But too often, way too often, we want to share our opinion. As the saying goes, we want to give our 2 cents. Have you ever said, "Pastor, I want to give you my 2 cents on this topic"? Yeah, well, that was my joke, John. The Canadian government got rid of the penny, so you might as well keep your 2 cents, because someday there'll be a collector's item. And Scripture tells us this in Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily. How often do we need to encourage each other? How often?
Daily.
Daily, guys. And as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to encourage each other daily. Come on. How often do we encourage each other?
Daily.
Remember that. I'm going to make you say it enough. Hopefully you remember this. So tomorrow, should we encourage each other? Today, should we encourage each other? Next week? Because how often do we encourage each other? Daily. As long as it's called a day, you should be encouraging one another, using God's word to lift each other up, shouldn't you? We shouldn't be. I don't even have a real Bible in front of me. Here. You shouldn't be using this as your weapon. This is our weapon against what? Principalities. Not against each other to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what? Gary, I notice you haven't been given thanks to the Lord. What is your problem? Are you even saved, Gary? Come on, Gary. That's not what this is for. What we're supposed to do is encourage each other. What's going on, Gary? What's going on? What can I do? What can I pray for you with? How can I be an encouragement to you? And trying to figure out and spend time encouraging each other and not using this as your weapon, but using this as your encouragement, your tool to encourage. I tried to pour concrete in my basement because I moved the toilet flange. Never done that before. I think I'm pretty much a plumber now. I'm not, but. And then I became a masonry guy and I was pouring concrete. There's a tool for every job. You know this? What is not the correct tool is an old half-inch corded drill that hasn't been used in about 10 years to mix cement. It's not the right tool for the job. This is not intended to be your weapon to go in there and say, Gary, come here for a second. This tool is not the tool to say, yeah, there, what are you doing wrong? Oh, this is not this tool. Gary, like the Lord loves you. The Lord sent his son for you. How can we honor him today? What can I do to build you up? What can I pray for? That's what this tool is for. You can go sit down, sorry. I apologize for getting in your space. I needed you guys to see this because it's important because you don't spread concrete with a drywall knife, putty knife. You know that? It's not the right tool for the job. This is not the tool to be used as a weapon. This is to build each other up. His word is to build each other up. We don't sing the song. Well, maybe you don't sing the song anyways, but the scripture tells us thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, isn't it? Not thy word is a knife that I can stab my buddy's back and hit him in the front and in the jaw with. It's to build each other up. Are we building each other up with his word? It's much easier to be critical, isn't it? I think it's far too easy to be critical. Guilty. Stacy's driving. Stacy, you should speed up. Stacy, you're going too slow. Stacy, park like this. The kids were making fun of me because sometimes I'm just a little critical. And I'm like telling her, okay, you're doing this wrong. Okay, you need to back up. And I'm trying to like give her guidance on how to back into the camping site. And the kids were keeping tallies. And it's just like, okay, you need to be less critical and we need to be more positive. Amen? Let's speak boldly. Let's speak bold blessings. Let's speak bold positive things from the word of God to each other and not speak negatively and not speak curses over each other. Thirdly, lastly, because I believe so deeply, I can't help lead you to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Isn't this what we're called to do as believers, is to tell others about Jesus and to lead them to Jesus? To show them his love through our lives and lead them to Christ? Lead them to the cross? Lead them to an interaction with Jesus? That's what we're called to do, isn't it? We should care so deeply that we can't help but lead them to Jesus. We can't help it. We just got to do it. We got to be Nike in this and just do it. Just do it. We need to lead them to Jesus. And here's what you need to understand. When Jesus has made a change in your life, you can't be quiet about it, can you? Have you, if those of you that have been saved for a short time, or maybe you've only known Jesus for a year or two, or maybe you've known Jesus for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and you remember how you were before, and you just can't be quiet about the good things he's done in your life and how he's changed you. Can you? I pray not. See, God has forgiven you. He's transformed you. Maybe you were angry at one time. Maybe you were bitter. Maybe you were unfaithful. Maybe you were a lying person. But by the grace of God and only by his strength, you've been transformed into the man or woman that God has called you to be. Amen? He's called us for so much more. And we need to share that. We need to speak it out and tell people the changes that we've seen in our life. Maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe the rest of you are like, Dave, settle down, chill, relax. Why are you so excited, Dave? I mean, we just came to church. It's just supposed to feel good. We're just doing our duty, aren't we? No! We speak boldly because we believe deeply. We've been changed deeply. We've been transformed deeply. We've been transformed to our root. Will you speak boldly with me today? See, we can't be like the world selling out for material things. We need to be selling out for Jesus. We need to be a witness wherever we go. We need to lead others to Jesus. Guys, I hope today you've been stirred up to speak boldly. I pray that today you've been stirred up to share Jesus passionately, boldly, telling people what he's done for you, how he can transform their life, that they need him, that you can love people boldly and not just use that Bible as a weapon, but use it as a tool to love, because that's what it's for. Will you speak boldly with me? Will you tell others how good your God is? Will you speak boldly with me? It's really easy, like I said, to pick apart and use that as a weapon instead of a weapon against powers and principalities. Amen? Speak boldly with me. Mary, I'm going to invite you up to play as we just close in prayer. But guys, I'm going to invite you. I want to invite you. The Holy Spirit stirred you, and you've been like, I haven't been speaking boldly. I haven't been sharing Christ with others. I haven't been leading people to Jesus. I haven't been loving people the way I've been told to love. I haven't been ministering. I haven't been, the list goes on. And you're like, I need to start speaking boldly. As a church, we need to speak boldly. Amen? I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you all to stand. And if you're watching online, I'm going to invite you guys to stand as well. And we're not singing, we're just going to pray. But I just want us to stand in honor of God. And if you're like, I haven't been speaking boldly, I want to speak boldly, I want you just to agree with me in this prayer. God, right now we come before you, Father. And God, we ask for your forgiveness, Father, and the times that we haven't spoken boldly for you, Jesus. The times that we haven't loved each other and encouraged each other boldly. The times that we've used your word as a weapon against each other. Father, the times that we've had opportunities to lead people to you and tell them about you and your goodness, your son Jesus, and that he died for our sins. God, I pray that you would forgive us and that we would start to speak boldly. We would find our voice for you in Jesus' name. Father, for those that are in agreement with me this morning and want to start speaking boldly, Father, give us opportunities to speak boldly in these walls and in the streets of this town. Father, that we would start here speaking boldly to each other, speaking life over each other, speaking wholeness over each other, that we would speak boldly. And Father, as we move out to the streets, that we would speak boldly there and share your love and lead people to you. Jesus, let us speak boldly. Give us the courage. Give us the strength to speak boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now maybe you guys can have a seat. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. And whether you're watching online and if you say, yeah, I want to accept Jesus, or maybe you're in this room and you say, yeah, I haven't accepted Jesus, or I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, we're going to do that right now. And if you want to cross that line from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus, I'm going to invite you just to repeat this prayer after me. And if you know Jesus, I'm going to ask that you still repeat this prayer with me just so others in the room would feel comfortable. And following this prayer, I want you to connect with me so I can get you a Bible so we can talk. And so we can just connect on how you can continue to walk closer to Jesus. Amen? So if you want to accept Jesus right now, and even if you have already done this, I want you just to repeat this prayer after me so the people that haven't done it feel comfortable. Would you pray with me? Just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me new. I give my life to you, Jesus. And I walk in your ways. Help draw me closer to you. Bring people in my life that will help me walk closer each day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So like I said, if you pray that prayer today for the first time and you're not here, if you're here, come talk to me at the back. If you're not here, call the church 306-882-2453 or email me at lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Comment on Facebook, comment on YouTube. Just connect with me. I want to connect with you and I want to give you a Bible and talk. So guys, we're going to pray and I'm going to dismiss you, okay? Father God, we love you. We thank you. God, I pray that you would have stirred us today, that we will speak boldly and we will speak life boldly, God. That we won't say, oh, Pastor Dave said to speak boldly, so I'm going to just tell everybody what I think. But Father, we would speak life. We would speak how you've called us to speak boldly over each other, over our families. We would speak boldly and ask for healing, and we would believe boldly, and we believe deeply. God, I pray that you will continue to stir us. Give us passion for you. Give us a great week, God. Lead us and direct us and give us opportunities to speak boldly in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, thanks for being here. It was awesome to be with you guys this Sunday. And I pray that you were encouraged and I pray that you were stirred. Speak boldly, live boldly, okay? God bless. Have a good day.